news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back. That Awful Podcast, MoreLikeRadio.com, RantEMRadio.com, every Monday on More Like Radio from 4 to 5, and Rant EM Radio on from 7 to 8 p.m. Welcome back. Almost didn't get to be with you guys this week. Had some audio issues as I was trying to record. I do apologize, and I'm here with you now, so, you know, what more could you want? May the 4th be with you. Yes, I'm a bit of a Star Wars geek. Star Wars first premiered when I was about 2 years old. Maybe I was three. But, I have distinct memories of Star Wars and watching all the movies with my dad, you know, and my brother eventually got into it, and you know, here I am now as dad, and I'm trying to, you know, my kids have seen all six Star Wars. Their favorite is episode 4, which means I'm raising them right as far as I'm concerned. Just want to reflect a little bit on some of my memories of Star Wars, you know, with you guys. And, you know, if you guys have memories of Star Wars, feel free to post them up on the Facebook page. When I was 3 years old, I had to have minor surgery. I don't remember what the surgery was, but there are two things I remember distinctly from that surgery. And yes, these memories are completely vivid. I remember as I was going under the anesthesia, just as I was going out, again, the Muppets were big. This was 1979. I was having the surgery. Muppets were big around that time. And as I was going under, I remember seeing Kermit the Frog, Miss Piggy, and Rolf. And I think Fozzie Bear was there too. I really don't remember. But, you know, those were, Kermit wasn't in Muppet General Hospital, but Miss Piggy and Rolf were. And, you know, that's the last thing I remember seeing as I went under. And, yeah, it's kind of weird. But again, I was three. Don't judge me. All right. And I remember as I was recovering in the hospital, my dad had gone out and bought me Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker. And him and I sat there and, you know, we had lightsaber fights with them, you know, and things like that, and some cool stuff. And this was before I had really even seen the movie. You know, I didn't know who Luke Skywalker was or Darth Vader was. And it was more just like, oh, these are kind of cool characters, Dad. Awesome, you know, and later on, I found out more about Star Wars and things like that. And I really just enjoyed the hell out of it. You know, again, as we got older, Star Wars was always something we would watch together and, you know, good family times, you know, and things like that. So it's always been very special to me. And again, it's a story that I just really enjoyed too. Wasn't such a big fan of episode 6, you know, I mean, again, I believe those were the better ones than the 3 prequels. I really kind of despised episode 1. Let me not say I despised episode 1. I despised Jar Jar Binks, just like every other true hardcore Star Wars fan, you know. I didn't like Jar Jar Binks. I thought he was a completely ridiculous character, and really, he has a place in the Star Wars universe, but I just, he didn't fit right for me, and something just really bothered me, and he was more of a menace than anything else, you know? But, you know, and then when episode 3 came out, you know, for people who know my dad, getting my dad to call in sick for anything is near impossible. Okay. My father only calls in sick if he is legitimately sick. You know, I get some of my work ethic from him where, you know, if I'm late to work, something catastrophic has happened. Okay. So, you know, you're always on time or you're always early. You know, you do what you have to do, you know, and you don't call in sick. And, you know, I don't not call in sick. Every now and again, you just kind of have to, mental health days kind of thing. But when episode 3 came out, my brother and I were like, we need to go watch this together. And I looked at him and I was like, yeah, we need dad to come with us too. You know, we need to see this with dad. And, you know, everybody's lives at this point were my brother and I were both adults working full time and things like that. And trying to coordinate anything was a giant pain in the ass, you know, because my brother held actual, you know, normal working hours, where my father and I both working EMS, our work hours were just wacky and all over the place. So my brother and I had a day off together, and we looked at my father and we said, listen, dad, you need to come see this movie with us. The three of us need to go be Star Wars geeks as a family. And I said, you know, we don't know if this is good. We're going to be able to do this again. And, you know, we still don't know. I mean, now my brother's back in Chicago. So when this next episode comes out, when episode 7 comes out, you know, there's still a very good chance that we're not going to be able to do this together. Although I am going to try to convince my father to come see it with me and my children. And, you know, we convinced my dad to call in sick for this. You know, we convinced my dad this was something special enough that you need to call in sick and you need to spend time with your sons. And he did. And again, you know, I guess if I had to rate the 6 Star Wars movies, that are presently out, I would have to rank episode 3 as my favorite. Excuse me, episode 4 is my favorite. Episode 5, number 2. And then episode 3 is my third favorite. And mainly because episode 3 to me was the better of the 3 prequels. I get you had to lead up to everything and things like that. But I mean, episode 3 to me was just a better movie. And, you know, I mean, again, there was that special moment where, you know, me, my brother, my father sitting there watching the movie together and, you know, all three of us being sarcastic in our own special way. You know, as far as I'm concerned, my father is the Yoda of sarcasm. Okay. And, you know, I tell everybody that, you know, I've learned from the best and I'm pretty damn good at sarcasm. A lot of people don't get my sarcasm and it hurts feelings and things like that. And, you know, I laugh it off. They don't, whatever. But, yeah, so Star Wars Day is a very special day, too. You know, and again, my father's birthday is the next day, May 5th, so I just want to say happy birthday to my dad if he's listening. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't, you know. But special shout-out to my dad for his birthday and my father-in-law, who is also, his birthday is May 4th, so happy birthday to him. I'm not going to tell you how old they are. You can kind of figure it out there. They're gentlemen of a certain age, but both men very influential in my life, and my dad especially. My dad is my personal hero, just because the man always busted his ass, worked hard, did everything he possibly could do for his family and, you know, things like that. So, you know, dad, if you're listening, thank you for everything. I aspire to be just half the man you were, and if I can do that, I'm going to be all right. So excuse me one second. My throat's getting a little dry. I have had one hell of a weekend. This weekend's been insane. On Saturday, we took my kids to Free Comic Book Day over at the the local comic book store out here in Staten Island. There's actually two, I think, out here, but there's only one that really counts, and that's my boys over at Comic Book Jones. Those guys were really cool. Went into a couple of friends over there. Met my buddy Phil, who, if you're listening on the rant, you're actually going to hear right after me, as he's launching a new limited series based on Star Wars. He's going to be talking about Star Wars, all six episodes, leading up to the release of the episode 7 in December. So if you guys are interested, that's going to be airing 8 o'clock on Monday nights on rantemradio.com. You know, he's a much bigger... again, if you don't know Phil personally, all right, I call him Philipedia. The dude is a vast wasteland of useless information. And not all of it's useless. I mean, you know, you could put him on an episode of like Jeopardy, but if it was all pop culture and things like that, and he would knock it out the box. I mean, if what Phil says, you know, this song was released in like this year, or this artist, you know, did the original and things like that, 99% of the time, he's right. I mean, every now and again, like, he'll sit there and say, like, oh, you know, oh, this song was released in, like, 1988. And I'll be like, ah, you're wrong, dude. It was released in December of 87. You know, I mean, he's really not far off. But, you know, check him out. RantEMRadio.com, 8 p.m. for the new Star Wars show. Limited series. I don't know exactly what he's going to be talking about the first episode. I mean, I believe he's going to go... He's going to talk about all six episodes individually, starting with, well, I don't know if he's starting with episode 1 or if he's going to start with episode 4, but definitely give it a listen. I will be checking it out, of course, and if I have a little time, I may actually jump on there with on an episode or two with him. So, where was I going with that? Yeah, I don't remember. So, oh, busy weekend, comic book day, yeah. So, you know, my kids got to pick out their own comic books, and my daughter's never really been interested in it. My son, I took to the comic book store a couple of times, and he enjoyed the hell out of it, but, you know, he's a good kid. You know, he's always like, Daddy, can we get something for Alexa? You know, he'll pick out a book that, you know, she would like. So she's never actually been there. So this was like an experience for her, and she was completely, completely overwhelmed. She's like, oh my God, Daddy. This place is full. Yeah, it is pretty full. You know, but they each got, for those of you who don't know what Free Comic Book Day is, the all the comic book companies release certain books that they give away for free. And each person can go in and you get up to 5 free comic books per person. You know, and it's basically just a way to get more people into comic books and get people into the stores and maybe look around and buy a couple of things too and things like that, which, I mean, it was effective. You know, my kids got their 5 comic books each. I got my 5 and they got, they decided they wanted something a little extra also. So they each got to pick out 1 comic book to buy. And, you know, mommy didn't come with us, but we had to get mommy a comic book too, because, you know, she should have been there, and, you know, she didn't want to be, and I understand. You know, it's just a giant pain in the ass, and, you know, we were going to Home Depot after that, because the first Saturday of every month, Home Depot has their free project day, and this project was a Mother's Day gift. So after the comic book store, we were in there for maybe half an hour. We leave there, we go over to Home Depot to do the free project. And now this is something my kids and I have been doing. Well, my wife usually does it with us also. We've been doing this since December now. So, and it's fun. They have cute little projects for the kids to do, and they enjoy it. You know, you help them a little bit. And, you know, we went to a Home Depot that we don't usually go to. It was right by the comic book store. So we walk in, and it was a little bit different than what we were used to and things like that. But this project in itself was just difficult. It was, I mean, first off, they used the smallest freaking nails I've ever seen in my life. I mean, to the point where you try to hold it. And I really don't have fat fingers, even though I joke about it. You know, they're the kind of nails that, you know, you almost, when you hold it and you try to start tapping it in, like you're almost hitting your fingers because the nail is really that short. It was crazy. And then they use these screws. They didn't give you the proper screwdriver to use and things like that. I actually bought it home. I have to finish it probably tomorrow on my day off, where, you know, finish it up and do all the minor details to make it happen. But this month was a picture frame. You know, it was a picket fence picture frame. You put it together, the kids paint it, and they're gonna give it to my wife for Mother's Day this coming Sunday. So don't forget to get your mom something special if she's still around in your life. Because let's face it, you know, dads do a lot for us, but moms do a lot more and don't get the recognition that they should. So make sure you do something nice for your mom or your baby mama, if you got one, wife, whatever the case may be. And then later on that night, you know, we had to go to my nephew's communion, which in and of itself was a good time. You know, it's funny. They live right next door to me, and I love these kids. I mean, they're not like legit blood family, but we consider them family because we bought the house, and they were the first people we met, and their daughter was literally born 3 weeks before mine. And we've been close with them, and you know, my kids call them aunt, they call me uncle. And they call them aunt and uncle. They call my wife and I aunt and uncle. And it's a good time. They're good kids and everybody enjoys each other's company. And, you know, we don't really see each other a whole hell of a lot during the winter, even though we live right next door to each other, because, you know, it's cold and New York winters suck. Not as bad as other winters, but, you know, you'll kind of want to stay inside. You know, you don't want to play outside. And then I'm watching this kid, and he's there in his white suit and my boy can cut a rug. I was very impressed. He's sitting there and he's like, he's doing his best pop lock that I've ever seen an 8-year-old do. Or maybe he's 7. I don't remember. Listen, you're lucky I remember how old my kids are, all right? But, you know, he's popping and locking. He's actually doing a little bit of a break dance and things like that. And I look at my neighbor Star, and I'm like, when the fuck did he learn this? You know, I was amazed. And she's like, oh, well, you know, he's always kind of had it in him. I'm like, well, I don't know what the hell you've done, but it's flourished. But, yeah, so, I mean, this my Saturday was crazy, and I tried to record Saturday night. I had some issues, and, you know, I resolved them, thankfully. Part of on a small part of Sunday that I had to take care of things, because, you know, now like the household chores kind of got neglected on Saturday. So I woke up, felt like crap, woke up, my wife said, listen, you got to deal with the kids. I went back to bed, woke up, started doing some of the household chores. And then it was such a beautiful day in New York that we were like, you know what, we gotta take the kids and do something, you know? So, we met my wife's cousin and her kids and husband over at the carnival here in Staten Island, which I got to be honest with you, man. I don't know if these are like this by you, but these carnivals are a fucking ripoff. All right. They charge you $5 per person to get in, which isn't bad. Not bad at all. I mean, they let my son get in for free because he looks smaller than he is. But, you know, you got to buy booklets of tickets to go on these rides. Some rides are 2 tickets, some rides are 3 tickets, some rides are 4 tickets. Fuck you. All right. So my wife and I decide, let's get the kids these bands, $30, unlimited rides. You go on whatever ride you want. Okay. Cool. We can handle that. You know? So we go to, there are certain rides that, you know, you have to be with your child on. All right. I get it. It's a pain in the ass, but I get it. But they require the parent to be on the ride. But now they want you to buy extra tickets to go on these rides. Why? It's your rule that I have to be on there with my child. Okay? I don't want to be on some of these rides. But if you're going to require me to be on it with my child, don't break my balls about it. Give you fucking tickets for this. Get out of here. Stupid nonsense. And I almost got into a fist fight with a dude because he was getting a little aggressive. And again, I mean, my kids were there and, you know, my niece and nephew were there. So it was just kind of like, you know, I got to kind of maintain. So I was just like, you know what, dude? Fine. I go to get off the ride. My wife's cousin's husband. Well, I guess I can call him cousin too. He's like, they kicked you off? I'm like, yeah, man, this guy's breaking my balls. I don't want to punch him in his mouth. You know, he's being a dick. You know, and thankfully, like, no, we didn't use any harsh language in front of the kids because as much as I do curse and there are points where I use it as punctuation, I still try not to curse that much in front of my kids. Doesn't always work. Sometimes they kind of bring out the best in you. Every parent knows. So, you know, he's like, watch this. He goes, fuck this. He goes, he sneaks on. And the guy's not paying attention. My cousin slips in there, sits down with the kids, and off the ride goes. And I'm like, you know what? This is poetic justice for me. Fuck this guy. Fuck this whole place. You know, start charging me extra. Want me to pay extra for that shit. Most of these parents, as a parent, we don't want to go on these rides. All right. I mean, these are kiddie rides. It doesn't really do a whole hell of a lot. Most of the people were cool. And they're like, listen, you got to go on. I'm not going to charge you the extra tickets and stuff like that. I said, all right, cool. Good looking out. Appreciate it. But then, like, you go and you play the carnival games and things like that and you know, shoot the water in the clown's mouth and all this other mundane stuff. I can't say no. The kids want to do this, but they're charging you now $3 a person to play these games. Come on now. Fucking rip off, man. And now the kids want to eat. I looked at my wife. I was like, I am not spending a shit ton of money on food in here. And the food is terrible. The food isn't good. You are hard-pressed to find decent carnival food. Okay? I mean, listen, you want to get like your fried Oreos and things like that. That's the carnival food. Like maybe some cotton candy and stuff like that. But even the cotton candy now isn't made fresh. You know, it's prepackaged and waiting there for you. You know, it's not the same. So, you know, I'm like, you know, no. You got a funnel cake. You get some like Zeppelis, things like that. I mean, again, I don't know if they do this, these kind of, I'm sure funnel cake is outside of New York, but I don't know if you guys know what a Zeppeli is. It's basically fried dough with powdered confectioner sugar on it. Fucking fantastic. You gotta love it. But, you know, again, they're hitting you over the head for this stuff. You know, you want to buy a soda, it's like $3. For what? A bottle of soda? I mean, listen, I know it's still not far off from the price in the local bodega. You know, you're spending $2, sometimes $2.25, but come on now. Really? It's just annoying. And then the worst part is, like, you know, my son, he's 3. He's about 3 feet tall, you know, which is an average height for his age, but he wants to go on all these rides. And I want to put him on these rides. He would love this. Like, we want to go on the, what the hell was it called? The Wild Mouse. It's this bullshit little roller coaster. You know, where you get on. I went on with it with my daughter last year. You sit on there and you kind of, it's a mini roller coaster. So you go up a little bit and this and that. And the worst part is when the car actually spins around and stuff like that. You know, it's intended to try to make kids puke. It was almost successful last year with my daughter. But my son is like 2 or 3 inches shorter than what needs to be on there. So like he's like, Daddy, I want to go on the Wild Mouse. Daddy, I want to go on the Wild Mouse. Daddy, I want to go on the Wild Mouse. All right, all right, all right. We're going to walk over to the Wild Mouse. We walk over to the Wild Mouse. He's too short. Sorry, buddy. They're not going to let you on. And I understand why they're strict about this kind of stuff, you know, insurance regulations, things like that. I'm not going to argue with it, you know. Again, he can handle it, but the rules are there for a reason. So then now he wants to go on the bumper cars. How the hell are you too short to go on the bumper car ride with an adult? That I don't get. I don't get it. I don't get it. It's a bumper car. You drive around slowly at that, and you bump into other people. I don't see why there should be a height restriction. My kid sits in a car. Granted, it's in a car seat, you know, or booster seat, you know. Can't call it a car seat now. He gets upset, you know. Daddy, it's a booster seat. I'm a big boy. But, you know, you take more of a chance riding in a goddamn car than you do running in a bumper car, and yet he's allowed to do that without a problem. But a bumper car, it's like, oh, no, he might get injured. Are you kidding me? Listen, I could see if my kid was like a year old, you know, things like that. Yeah, he's, you know, there's potential. But come on now. Let's not be ridiculous here. But, holy crap, look at that. Been rambling on now for about 25 minutes. All right, so basically, let me take a quick break. When I come back, I'm actually going to do a little bit of sports. Big fight on Saturday night. Floyd Money Mayweather versus Manny Pacquiao. Most people that I knew were not rooting for Money Mayweather. Most people I know, very disappointed. Kentucky Derby was also Saturday. The NFL Draft was this weekend. A lot of big things going on. You're listening to That Awful Podcast, Rant EM Radio, morelikeradio.com. We'll be right back after this.
Hey everybody, Double A here to tell you that Rant Entertainment Media is bigger and better than ever with our huge lineup of original first-run programming. Things kick off on Monday at 7 p.m. with Will Sweeney and That Awful Podcast. And at 11:15 p.m. following Monday Night Raw, join Lee and Rage live for Freaks and Effing Geeks. Then on Tuesday nights, join myself, Double A, and Tony C for the Mothership, The Rant, live at 8 p.m. Take a trip back in time on Wednesday nights with Turnbuckle Throwbacks live at 9 p.m. with the Impact player Phil Rea and Dave Mega Powers. Thursday nights bring you another doubleheader with the Rexplex hosted by Rex Watson at 7 p.m., followed by Rant and Wrestling at 9 p.m. You can expect a new episode of the Lex Podcast every Friday hosted by Lexicon. Sit back late on Saturday nights at 11 p.m. with William Morgan and the Wrestling Call-In Show live. And bring it back home at 5 p.m. on Sundays with the What Are You Reading comic book show with Surfer and Jordan Cobb live. And you can tune into any of these programs by just going to rantemradio.com. And don't forget to take us with you on the go by downloading the TuneIn Radio app on your mobile device and simply searching for Rant Entertainment Media. So don't miss out on anything we have to offer you each and every day. It's your one-stop source for endless opinions and quality entertainment. All right here at rantemradio.com.
And we're back. That Awful Podcast, rantemradio.com, morelikeradio.com. Every Monday is awful now because of me. Well, that and, you know, your work week started all over again and things like that. But, guys, don't forget, check out my YouTube channel, man. If you haven't had the chance to, let's say you forget to listen in or download or whatever like that. First off, shame on you. But head on over to my YouTube channel, man. Check it out. I got the every episode up there so far. This episode's actually going to go up a little bit later than I usually post up the newer episodes, only because of the issues I was having and things like that. But don't judge me. Don't hate me for it. It is what it is. I also got some playlists on there I'm developing. You know, that's I have a fairly eclectic musical taste, you know, so some 80s music, some metal, some R&B, you know, things like that. You know, baby making music. Things of that nature. Now, one thing I do want to talk about, and I'm not going to get deep into it, but it's going to take me into my sports section that I'm going to do. The riots down in Baltimore. I'm sure everybody knows about Freddie Gay and what happened, and Freddie Gray, excuse me, and what happened. And, you know, again, people respond foolishly. I fully support somebody's right to peaceful protest. You know, do what you got to do. Speak your mind. I have no problem with that. When you inconvenience me, I have a problem with it. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But some of the people in Baltimore took it upon themselves to start to riot in certain parts of Baltimore, where they're getting up in cops' faces and looting stores and things like that. Now, again, I'm not saying this was everybody in Baltimore, because it was not. And it was not all over Baltimore, because it was not. It was isolated to a certain area of Baltimore. And I didn't know this at the time, but a couple of people on one of the networks, The Rant, live in the area of Baltimore, and I didn't know this at the time. One of the guys from Freaks and Effing Geeks, which is on tonight at 11, he lives down there. And, you know, once I found out, you know, I didn't find out, like, to sit there and say, like, you know, reach out to him and say, hey, man, I hope everything's all right. I found out. I was like, oh, you know, I spoke to him, and, you know, he's doing all right. I was like, oh, well, thank God for that. You know, but even he said it, you know, it's a certain people that are doing it. You know, it's not, I don't know how to say this properly, but, you know, people that were raised a certain way don't do this. You know what I mean? Granted, everybody gets to develop their own like or dislike for what's going on. And as you grow up, I know as I grew up, whatever my parents had instilled in me, I had to kind of take or leave, you know, whether I liked this about what they taught me or I liked that about what they taught me, or maybe I didn't like this at all and I want to do my own thing. You know, my parents basically let me make my own mistakes and I learned from them. But what people need to realize too is when you listen to mainstream media only reports what they want you to know. Okay? What's going to sell? What's going to get people to watch? What's going to make or break them? Okay? Now, to broadcast the riots, well, you broadcast one certain area, people think that it's all of Baltimore that's doing it. You know? And, you know, I mean, all of us are kind of guilty of this for a couple of minutes where we're like, oh, wow, this is insane. Baltimore's being torn apart, you know? And, you know, as Lee and Rage were making talk on Freaks and Effing Geeks, you know, they said, you know, just because you watch The Wire and just because you watch Homicide: Life on the Street doesn't mean you know what goes on in Baltimore. And he's right. You know, it's like watching, you know, Law and Order, you know, and all these cases they do. Not this doesn't happen every day in New York. Okay. So you got to kind of take and leave and pick and choose what you want to listen to and what you want to follow. Okay. Don't always believe what everybody's telling you. Okay. Now, what I don't get is how looting and rioting and burning down stores helps you in any way, shape, or form. Okay? You're foolish. You're ruining your own community. What does burning down a CVS do for you? What does it do? You know? It makes it harder for a parent to go buy diapers. Makes it hard for the little old man down the street to go get his diabetes medication, his high blood pressure medication. You're hurting other people in your community. You're hurting your neighbors. But again, I guess I'm sitting here saying this and I'm realizing that, you know, I'm thinking rationally, where people who riot obviously aren't thinking rationally. And sometimes I question whether or not they have the ability to think rationally. It just makes no sense to me. Now, thankfully, there weren't a lot of injuries, things like that. But now, when things like this happen, you know, Freddie Gray suffered a severed spine somehow while he was in police custody. Okay? I'm not going to say it was the cops that did it because we don't know. Okay? Nobody knows for sure. People make their assumptions. Okay? Now, again, everybody reported on the riots and things like that that were going on, and lesser news sources, let me not say lesser news sources, but less mainstream news sources reported on some of the positive stuff that was happening, where after these idiots went down and burned down the CVS and looted these other stores, you know, they were out there the next morning cleaning up. There were people out there as the police are standing in line in full riot gear trying to, you know, just let people do what they're going to do. People getting up in their faces and wanting to try to fight them, you know. Now, if you're going to get in somebody's face and try to instigate, you kind of deserve whatever you get, okay? If you're going to get in my face and try to instigate with me and I pop you in the mouth, you deserve it. It's going to take me a lot to get to that point, but you deserve it. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to incite some sort of brutality so you can sit there and say, oh, look at them, I'm a victim now, la, 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 la. No, fuck you, you're an idiot. Okay, there were people out there who were sitting there going, dude, don't give them a reason. Stop. Stop. Don't give them a reason. What's wrong with you? You know, now these are the people I admire. These are the people I sit there and I'm like, you know what? You're all right in my book. Go say what you got to say. Don't try to get in somebody's face about it. Don't. So, as all this is going on, the Baltimore Orioles were playing a series against the White Sox. And, well, they canceled Monday's game. I believe they canceled Tuesday's game also. But Wednesday, they played a game. But no fans were allowed in. You know, there was a lot of safety concerns and things like that, and I kind of get it. You don't want people coming into, you don't know what's going to happen. All right, you have a very eclectic mix of people going to a baseball game. Now, just going to, I mean, growing up going to baseball games, you always got the one guy who gets a little drunk and acts like an ass in the section and things like that, and you know. You want him escorted out, and most of the time he is. You know, you have a fan of one team. I remember, what was it? I was at a Mets game a long time ago, and I think it was the Mets versus the Giants. And this is when Bobby Bonilla was still with the Mets, so it tells you how far I'm going back. And this guy was in San Francisco Giants gear, walking around with just talking shit, and it had a sign that was saying something negative about the Mets. I don't remember what it was exactly, but what I do remember distinctly is he got to one certain part of the ballpark, and then this was maybe 3 or 4 minutes after he had passed my section. All I know is we saw him busting ass to get out of there, running as fast as he could, being chased by about 20 other people who were ready to just beat the shit out of him. Dude got run out of the stadium. nothing happened to him, thankfully, but, you know, this is the kind of shit that goes on. Now, when you're in a hotbed right now, like Baltimore was, where there's a lot of tempers and a lot of different opinions and things like that, all it's going to take is one dude to say the wrong thing and shit's going to blow up. So they played this game, and the only people who were there were the announcers, the umpires, and anybody is that was part of the team. So it was a very, very interesting game to watch. First time ever a game was played in front of no fans. Okay? I mean, no concessions were sold. Watching the game, it was very quiet. It was eerie, you know? And, you know, it's kind of like you're listening to the announcers talk, and it's kind of like you're watching a golf match. You know, they're talking quietly like this, and Gary Thorne has a very distinct voice, and, you know, but you can't, you know, it was just weird. Not saying you can't talk loud, because these guys are used to playing in front of thousands of people where there's a lot more noise and things like that, but when there's a loud crowd noise, it kind of sounds like white noise. Okay, and you can kind of drown it out. I mean, I remember when I was competing in swimming, you know, we'd go to some meets and there were these huge crowds and watching us and things like that. And, you know, when you were on that starting block, even though people were talking, you were able to tune everything out and listen for the starter's pistol or the starter's sound or whatever they were using that particular day. You hit the water. And, you know, you could drown out everything that was going on. It's, you know, every athlete has the ability to do that. You know, so it's got to be weird. It had to be weird for him, and it was. It was even weird for some of the broadcasters. you know, they even said it was one of the most bizarre experiences in their careers. You know, it was Gary Thorne used to be the Mets announcer, and you know, he was a personal favorite of mine. You know, I liked Gary Thorne. I mean, he's been through some interesting things as an announcer. He was broadcasting the game in San Francisco in '89. That was when they had the earthquake during the World Series. You know, so it's kind of like, you know, he's done some weird shit. Some interesting shit, but never announced a game as quiet as this. So, you know, I mean, you had your people who were outside protesting, and don't forget Freddie Gray, and, you know, no justice, no peace, and all that shenanigans. But, which, listen, no justice, no peace makes no sense to me. Anything Reverend Al says, I automatically just completely discredit. I think the man's an idiot, but that's just me. So yeah, that happened in Baltimore as far as sports goes. And then we leave Baltimore and we head on over to Chicago, where on Thursday, the first round of the NFL draft occurred. Now, there was a lot of talk about people trying to trade up to the number two pick. Everybody pretty much knew that the number one pick was going to be Jameis Winston to the Buccaneers. I don't know if I particularly cared for that pick, to be completely honest with you. He had a lot of character issues. He was brought up on sexual assault charges. Which were eventually dismissed. You kind of wonder why, though. I mean, did he really do it? Was the girl making up the story? You don't know. Okay. Was there not enough evidence? There's a million things that go on with that, obviously. He was caught stealing crab's legs from a restaurant. I mean, like stupid shit. And some people question his ability. as a quarterback, whether or not he was NFL ready. Well, he still went number one. Everybody was trying to trade up to that number two pick to pick up Marcus Mariota. Okay. The Eagles were making a package to put together. Allegedly there was talks about the San Diego Chargers trying to make a move move up to the number two pick with Tennessee, trade Phillip Rivers. None of that worked out. Even the Bears tried to make a deal. Said, listen, we'll give you Jay Cutler for the number two pick. And they were like, yeah, no, you could package your entire team with Jay Cutler and we wouldn't take that. So poor Jay Cutler. I really do feel bad for the guy. But the Titans went and drafted Marcus Mariota number two. Now, what I think, and now if I'm the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I know I need a really good quarterback and a couple more pieces to make my team legit. Tampa Bay is really not that far off from being a playoff contender. They just need to find the right pieces. Now, if I know that Marcus Mariota is really that sought after, and in my opinion, obviously not theirs, but in my opinion, Marcus Mariota is better of the two quarterbacks, I want to sit there and I'm going to completely turn things around. And I'm going to pick Marcus Mariota. And then I'm going to sit there and dangle him in front of everybody and say, hey, I got him. What do you want? Make me an offer I can't refuse. This is what I need. This is what I'm looking for. Let's do this. Show me what you got. But Tampa Bay missed that opportunity. So as we just look along a little bit, again, this was not a very electric draft. There wasn't a lot of big names coming out, you know. Todd Gurley was a big name. He was a running back drafted 10th overall by the Rams. As soon as Todd Gurley was drafted, St. Louis running back Zach Stacy just tweeted yikes and then apparently went up to the Rams front office and said, okay, I want to be traded. And they granted him that trade. They traded him off to the Jets, which gives him a much better running attack. And there was actually, if I remember correctly, there was actually talk about Zach Stacy joining the Jets, I think a year or two ago, which didn't pan out. But a nice move by the Jets to get him. Just looking along a little bit here, we'll do the top 10. As you guys already know, the Jaguars pick Dante Fowler Jr., an outside linebacker. That just starts to fill the void that the Jaguars have. Amari Cooper goes number four to the Raiders. You know, I know when you guys were listening to me when I was on Tattoos and Touchdowns, Chris told you 2 years ago not to sleep on the Raiders. The Raiders started coming around a little bit at the end of last year. Do not sleep on them this year. They're improving. These guys could be a force to be reckoned with this year. It all depends on how quickly Jamarcus Russell gets his shit together. The Redskins picked an offensive guard in Brandon Scherff. Jets picked a defensive end in Leonard Williams, which is it's one of the voids they had that needed a little work. Bears picked the wide receiver, Kevin White. Bears wide receivers are pretty decent to begin with. They need a quarterback, just putting it out there. Falcons draft outside linebacker, Vic Beasley. Giants filled one of their most glaring holes, which is offensive line help, by picking Eric Flowers, who's an offensive guard out of Miami. And as we said, the Rams picked Todd Gurley, running back out of Georgia. Just trying to look for anything else big that I could see here. Nothing really. Yeah, no, nothing that really kind of stands out. But you know, overall an interesting draft. You know, everybody talks about, you know, winners and losers and things like that. And right now, the Eagles are being considered losers because Chip Kelly was trying to make moves to go get Marcus Mariota, dangling some of his bigger name players out there and things like that, and nothing came through. And now all of a sudden they're like, "Yo, what the fuck? Am I not good enough for your system?" And by the way, Chip Kelly, again, your Chip Kelly Oregon Duck offense was good. It's worked in the NFL now for 2 seasons. Good for you. Just saying. It's the NFL. Jerry Glanville said it best. NFL stands for not for long when you make calls like this. Okay? Things can change. Things can change quickly. You're dealing with some of the best coaches in the world in this sport, and they will figure out how to stop you. So you need to figure out how to modify your offense constantly so you can continue to be successful. All right. Switching up from that, going into Saturday afternoon, which was the running of the Kentucky Derby. 141st running of the Kentucky Derby. I don't get the lead up to the Kentucky Derby, and yeah, I know the mint and julep and all that other stuff, but all these crazy hats and all this other shit, you know, it's weird. Mitch riding horses, it's creepy. But American Pharoah won this one in the by about a length. That's the other thing I don't understand either, man. The measurements in horse racing. A horse is measured in hands. They run furloughs. I don't know. It makes no sense to me, man. What about yards? Let's do yards. I can even tolerate kilometers and stuff like that. I can figure that out, you know. There's conversions on Google. You Google how to convert kilometers to miles, and, you know, program pops up, does it for you. God bless America. You know, well, God bless the internet, really. America's the only, one of the only countries in the world that doesn't use the metric system. Don't get me wrong, I don't want to change now because I have a hard enough time figuring out shit, but it's neither here nor there. But your win show place, your trifecta was American Pharoah number one, Firing Line number two, Dortmund came in number three. So anybody who had that as that trifecta is sitting pretty right now. And then Saturday night, Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao, finally getting together, fighting. It's been much talked about over the last few months when they first announced it and things like that. Everybody was looking forward to it. Floyd Money Mayweather, undefeated going into this fight at 40, I believe it was 46-0 was his pre-fight record. 47-0 was the pre-fight record. And then Pac-Man Pacquiao was 57-5-2. Both talking a lot of smack going into the fight. I don't particularly watch the fight. I'm not that big into boxing. The last time I really watched boxing with any kind of enthusiasm, Mike Tyson was still relevant. Just never did anything for me, man. Boxing kind of died out after Tyson for me. And Tyson back in the day, I mean, you would pay for a pay-per-view. It was $30. Now, you had to pay $100 to watch Pacquiao and Mayweather. $100 to watch this fight. Get the fuck out of here. Are you kidding me? These guys took home, I believe somebody worked it out, that it was something like each guy was taking home $138,000 per minute. Per minute if the fight went 12 rounds. And it did. It did. Money Mayweather wins unanimous decision, 118 to 110, 116 to 112, 116 to 112, remains undefeated. Manny Pacquiao, just looking at the scorecard right here, really only won about 3 or 4 rounds out of this, according to the scorekeepers. Kept it close. I mean, from when you look at the scorecard, again, when you look at a boxing scorecard, it's kind of like looking at a box score for a baseball game. You know, every hit looks like a line drive, you know, and here every round looked really close. But from people that I've spoken to that actually watched the fight, it wasn't nearly as close as it appears. It was apparently a bad fight. Money Mayweather came out just looking like the real deal, and you know, he was talking, he says he's the greatest fighter ever. A lot of debate for that, a lot of debate for that. You still got Muhammad Ali. You got Mike Tyson. You know, you might be number three, dude, but I don't know that you're actually a legit number one. But that's neither here nor there. With that being said, looking at the big clock, I am running out of time. So I'm going to start putting a bow on this bad boy. Again, you've been listening to That Awful Podcast. Thank you very much for listening. MoreLikeRadio.com, Mondays 4 to 5 p.m. RantEMRadio.com, 7 to 8 p.m. Listen to all the great shows on both networks. For the More Like Radio fans, the More Like Radio live event was fantastic. Everybody had a great time. If you listen to Dutch and Royce, Hippo Juice, and the Cousin Joe show, they spoke about it a lot and some of the shenanigans that happened behind the scenes. Extremely interesting. Extremely interesting. It's unfortunate that I couldn't be down there to celebrate with them. But at the same time, as a married man, it may have been the best thing for me that I wasn't there. But everybody that was down there had a really good time. Nobody's had anything but great things to say about it. So congratulations to Royce and Marie for putting together another fine event. Listen to those shows. Again, check out Cousin Joe. He's still doing his No Station Required movie. Apparently, he did a lot of recording while he was down there, and people were, like, you know, really impressed with his prowess and his drive to actually get this done. So good luck to him. He did reach out to me. I got to try to set something up with him, do a little interview for the movie. Have to make myself pretty. But on The Rant, don't forget to check out all the great shows on The Rant also. Again, coming up right after me on The Rant at 8 p.m. is Phil Star Wars. I forget what he's calling it. I didn't even write it down. I'm sorry, dude. Don't hate me. Hate me. I don't care anymore. But after that, at 11:15, comes Freaks and Effing Geeks. And then, you know, all the other great shows, Wrestling Call-In Show, What Are You Reading? Just check them all out. All right. On that note, guys, once again, thank you very much. I do greatly appreciate your time. Stay safe. See you next week.